Hello friends, I am Soumendra Naik and I welcome to this session of Rural Dynamics. Today we are talking about a very interesting topic, that is agriculture inputs in India. Let me friends tell you what is agriculture input. Agriculture inputs are those elements of agriculture where actually the farmer utilizes them to get the produce or the output finally. So that is what we call as agriculture input. So it would be very unfair to talk about agriculture input without referring to few big names, the legends in this field who have gifted us many things in the past. Let me begin with Professor M.S. Swaminathan and Dr. Norman Borlaug. These were the people who contributed a lot during the Green Revolution and played a very crucial role in it, and they were the architect of Indian Green Revolution. They developed and they brought in the high yielding variety seeds of wheat to India. Before this, India was struggling with the production issues and the productivity was far low to sustain a population which was even very less compared to the current population of India at that time. But with the introduction of these varieties, we have gained a lot in the productivity aspect, and today is India a self-sustaining country. The Green Revolution in India resulted in increasing productivity of various crops. It increased the production of wheat almost 2.5 times, rice making it to 3 times, and even maize 3.5 times, jowar and bajra more than 5 times. Input hence is regarded as the backbone of Indian agriculture. When we talk about inputs, what are the various classification of inputs? What are the various kinds of or element of input that goes into agriculture? We can classify it as land, labor, irrigation, electricity, farm machinery and equipment, and the products which are purchased from the market like fertilizer, seeds, as well as pesticides. And again, these pesticides can be further classified into herbicides, insecticides, as well as fungicides. First, beginning with the land, the basic resource that is required for any agriculture input. Land is the most basic input in agriculture. The following table shows the trends of land. We know that our country geographically has a land area of 328 million hectare, which has remained constant, but the cultivable land and the net cultivable land has degrown, and in the year 1980-81, when the cultivable land was about 185.2 million hectares, now it has come down to 181.9 million hectares. This is mainly due to urbanization and lot of land being used for construction, as well as the more cultivable land getting smaller and smaller day by day. But we can also talk about the net cropped area. The net cropped area in 1980-81 was about 140.2 million hectare, and it has remained the same, but the gross cropped area has grown significantly, and this mainly has grown from 172.6 million hectare in 1980-81 to about 198.4 million hectare in the year 2014-15. And the major contribution towards this gross cropped area which has grown is coming from the crop rotation and multiple crops grown on the same land across India. Again, let me point out at a very important and significant figure out of this table, that's the gross irrigated area. We can very well see in the year 1980-81, while the gross irrigated area was about 50 million hectare, now it has grown almost to twice of its size, that is about 96.46 million hectares. So land, out of the total gross cropped area of 198 million hectare, 139 million hectare is under food crops, mostly the food grains, which is about 120 million hectares, and rest 55 million hectares is under the non-food crops or the cash crops, or even we can majorly classify as the fiber crops like cotton, jute and other crops. Further increase in the production of cereals and non-cereal agriculture commodity will have to be essentially achieved through increase in productivity as well as possibilities of expansion of area and livestock population and are minimal. Now coming to the next most important input, the major input what we are talking about nowadays is labor. There are about 263 million agriculture workforce in India's population, including 119 million cultivators who own a land and 144 million agricultural laborers. The number of agricultural workers is growing. However, the percentage of cultivators to the total agriculture workforce is on a decline phase. And whereas the number of agricultural laborers, we can say it's growing over the years. The trend may be due to the increasing number of non-viable farms, which is mainly resulting due to the fragmentation of land and ultimately compelling many farmers to leave cultivation or to lease their land to somebody else who can farm on it and then proceed for the next profession. Coming to certain statistics, which is very crucial to talk about at this point, is like in the year 1951, we had a total workers in 140 million workers. Out of that, 72% were cultivators or the owners of the land, whereas only 27% were laborers. But the trend has entirely reversed as of now, and we can talk in the year 2011, out of the total workers, that is 482 million workers in India, 119 million, that is about 45% are only cultivators, and about 55%, that is 144 million, are the laborers. So if we talk about on an absolute number, the number of laborers are increasing, but overall, if we talk, there are a lot of people who are exiting farming for and going for various profession, since at some point of time farming is becoming unviable due to major fragmentation of the land with the growing population. So if we talk about the share of agri workers in the total workers, in the year 1951, it was about 69.7%, whereas in 2011, the total share of agri workers to the total workers has come down to 54.6%. This is mainly due to the shift which is happening because people are migrating from rural areas to urban areas and getting absorbed in various other skilled and unskilled labor work area. For example, construction, which is a major absorber of these farm laborers coming to the urban sites. Let me talk about the annual daily average wage of field laborers in rupees. In the year 2006-07, a male laborer would get around 82 rupees, whereas a female would get around 62 rupees. And the average has slowly grown up, and to grow at such an exorbitant rate that today, in the year 2016-17, we have a male laborer who is earning about almost 300 rupees a day, whereas the female is earning about 228 rupees. Although there is a disparity between the pay of the male and the female laborers in the field, this is mainly due to the kind of work they do on the field as a laborer, but the average wage has significantly grown in over the years in last one decade. In the year 2011-12, the agriculture workforce constituted 54.6% of the total workforce of India. The share of agriculture workforce has been declining from 70% in 1951 to 54.6% now. This shows the movement of the workforce away from agriculture to non-agriculture related activities, and hence the declining has happened at a very fast pace. The reason for this trend is the increasing and relatively better employment opportunities that is coming up in the non-agriculture sector, which is able to absorb them easily. The latest details from the Census of India reveal some of the very staggering facts, and it rings an alarm on the agrarian crisis. The number of farmers have really dipped, and it's now a concern, like everybody who are shorting after a farmer and who are actually looking for laborers to farm their field for various activities, right from tilling till harvesting or any other activities in the midway. They are looking for laborers, and with the crunch of availability of laborers during the peak season, either they are losing their crop, they are not able to harvest at the right moment, which leads to loss of lot of agriculture produce, or they have to pay exorbitantly high price to avail those available few laborers who can actually come and work on their field. So friends, now let us talk about another very crucial input which is related for the agriculture, and without it agriculture cannot be done in any part of the world. That is a irrigation facility. So if we talk about few trends in irrigation, let's talk about India as a country which is very much dependent upon the rainfall. And the rainfall pattern in India, you can see very well from this slide that it has been erratic over the years. There is no fixed pattern, and in between we many a times face El Nino, and these are the various factors which make not only the rain unreliable, erratic, but also scattered, and we receive rain when it is not required, and sometimes we do not receive rain when it is much required. Hence the dependency on irrigation system grows up in an agrarian economy like India. So when we talk about in facts and figures, from the past 5 decades, that is in 1980, the total percentage of irrigated area in India was only about 27%. Now we have almost close to double of that figure, and we have achieved a little less than the 50% mark. About 48 or 49% of the total area under agriculture is irrigated, but there is a lot of way or a very long path to go ahead, because if we have to make the Indian economy self-sustainable and one of the leading economy in the world based on the agricultural produce and productivity, so we have to increase the percentage of irrigation. And the current government, we see like they have come up with lot of efforts on that aspect, where actually they are focusing on the micro irrigation in areas where water not only we can conserve, even we can grow the output of the produce and the productivity can be enhanced. And the government is providing lot of subsidy for installing the micro irrigation facilities like drip, sprinkler and various other aspects. 24% of the total irrigated area is irrigated through canals in India. About 62% of the irrigated area is irrigated through groundwater, that is the wells and borewells. Special efforts have been made, including groundwater recharge through check dams, watershed development activities, and use of efficient irrigation methods such as drip, sprinkler irrigation. 3% of the irrigated area is irrigated through tanks, and about 11% of the irrigated area is irrigated through other sources. So now we are going to talk about a very important aspect of the input. This element is much essential to increase the productivity of every agricultural activity. This is the fertilizers, without which agriculture as of now will lose its productivity and charm. Fertilizer use has grown quite rapidly at the rate of about 4.5%, from 55 lakh tons to 266 lakh tons between 1980-81 and 2017-18. However, in 1980s, we saw a much faster increase in the fertilizer use at over 8% per year, which was again reduced to 4% per year in the 1990s. Again, there was an acceleration to about 6% between the year 2000, that's a from the new millennium, that is from 2000 to 2010 and 11. However, after that, there is a fluctuating trend in agriculture usage of fertilizer. Between 2000 and 2001 and 2017-18 till the recent years, use of nitrogenous fertilizers has gone up from 109 lakh tons to 170 lakh tons, annual growth rate being 4.3%. However, after 2010-11, annual growth rate has come down to 1.13%. Use of phosphatic fertilizers has gone up from 42 lakh tons to 69 lakh tons, annual growth rate being 4.8%. However, after 2010-11, annual growth rate has come down to 6.4%. The use of potassic fertilizers went up from 16 lakh tons to about 28 lakh tons with an annual growth rate of about 4.5%. But however, after 2010-11, the growth has come down to -10.5%. The changes may be due to changes in subsidy and the pricing policy regimes. There has been a sharp decline in the usage of these fertilizers, mainly due to the increase in price as and when it underwent decontrolled from the government subsidy. And due to this, agriculture is heading towards a new experience where actually it is very much of a concern that the productivity, will it be affected in the years to come due to the low usage of fertilizer, which is seen in some parts of India. So friends, now let me talk about the fundamental element of agri input, that is seed. Seed is very important, and every farmer has to sow a seed. Like either they have to take the seeds from their homegrown seeds, or they have to rely upon the market where they go out and purchase the certified seeds. The input of quality certified seeds is of high importance for increasing of agricultural productivity. The distribution of seeds reached a high of 313 lakh quintals in the year 2012-13, up from just mere 57.1 lakh quintal in the year 1990-91, and has reached 419 lakh quintals in the year 2017-18, in which the major share was of cereals. Overall, between 1990-91 and 2017-18, average growth rate in use of seeds is 8.4% per year. The growth appears to be on account of farmers eager to use latest technology and the best seeds available in the market. However, after 2010-11, the growth rate has fallen down to 3.15%, mainly on account of slower growth in pulses and oil seeds, maybe due to poor rains and low productivity and profitability. By the use of other seeds, including vegetable, it shows a huge growth. Now coming to another element of agri-input farming, we are going to talk about the pesticides. Pesticides are mainly the crop protectants. As we say, these are the crop protection chemicals, or in other words, the agrochemicals. It can be the synthetic or the biologicals, both the things. What are the purpose of using a pesticide? Pesticide mainly is used to protect the crop against the pest, against the diseases, against the competing weeds. So hence, pesticides mainly are of insecticide, fungicide and herbicides. Coming to some facts and figures, consumption of pesticides has increased from 45,000 tons in 1980-81 to 75,000 tons in 1990-91. But it has fallen back to 40,000 tons by 2005-06. Since then, it has risen to 60,000 tons in 2013-14 and has declined to 58,000 tons in 2017-18. However, the overall growth is negative. The negative growth in terms of quantity of pesticide is due to environmental concerns about pesticides. It is also attributable to development of pest-resistant varieties such as BT cotton, which drastically reduce the usage of insecticides. Let me just talk about a scenario. Before the entry of BT cotton into India, the maximum pesticide in form of insecticide was being consumed only for a single crop, that is cotton. After the introduction of BT cotton, which was a kind of a genetically modified crop, they reduced drastically the usage of pesticide or insecticide, which were used to control the bollworms. That is how the technology even changes the rate of growth or decline of pesticides. Furthermore, effective and less bulky pesticides are now available in the market. Earlier, we would find pesticides which were of high dose and low concentration. Now we are finding those pesticides which are of very low dose and highly effective and very high in concentration. So due to this, actually the overall volume of the pesticide has come down. Pesticide production in India is dominated by insecticide and fungicide, followed by herbicide and rodenticide. If I talk about the scenario in the world which is outside India, in those countries, globally, if I talk about a trend, then herbicides are the leading indications among all the three kinds of insecticide, fungicide and herbicide, whereas in India, herbicides are the smallest chunk. But yes, in the last few years, we see a recent trends in herbicide and fungicides are growing at a much faster rate compared to insecticides. Insecticides have almost shown a significant negative growth. The reason being environmental concerns, as their highly toxic nature, as well as development of pest resistant varieties. In the environment, if we talk about, there are various aspects where actually there are insecticides which affect the pollinators. So there is a lot of restriction on the kind of neonicotinoids insecticides which are affecting the pollinators. And there are various studies which are going on to actually conclude if they, what is the kind of impact they are having. And there are a lot of red triangle insecticides which have come down in the registration chain, and this is mainly due to the fact that these insecticides are more toxic to the environment. The shares of fungicide, herbicide and rodenticide are growing over the period. The growth in the use of fungicide is high mainly because of their application in fruit and vegetable crops. If we talk about, these are the crops which gives the maximum earnings for a farmer, and they are ready to spend more on high value fungicides to protect their crops for the best quality available. The share of extremely and highly hazardous pesticides, WHO classification, in the total production has been decreasing over the last decade. So now we are going to talk about another element of agri input, that is the farm machinery and equipment. At this age of agriculture, where actually there is a lot of labor shortage, and we have already spoken about the kind of shortage that we are facing due to labor crunches, this even becomes more important. So now let me go more about it in terms of numbers. If we talk about the sale of tractors and power tillers, it has grown by significant numbers. Just in the year 2004 and 5, if we sell up, if we talk about a about the number of tractors being sold in the country, it was about 2,47,531, and the power tillers were about 17,481. But when it comes to just almost like 15 years down the line, in about 2017-18, we see the numbers drastically has grown, where actually we see almost like 7,96,873 tractors being sold in the country, whereas 51,680 power tillers have been sold. So these numbers indicate itself that the kind of reliability on farm machinery and equipment is growing up in times of labor crunches. The farm machinery and equipment are becoming increasingly important inputs for agriculture every year. The number of tractors sold increased almost three times during the years from 2004-2005 to 2017-18. The number of power tillers sold increased almost three times in the same period. So from 2010-11, we can see an increase in the sale of both the equipments. And these are just two kinds of equipment. There are various other equipments in the farming also, which has seen a significant increase in the number. Now coming to an element of agri input, which is power and electricity. The usage of electricity in agriculture has grown significantly. In terms of percentage, if we talk, in the year 2018-83, it was merely about 18%, and in the year 2016-17, we may see almost the similar kind of percentage, where it has grown by just a few numbers, and the percentage remains at about 21%. But in terms of absolute numbers, if we talk about the consumption, it has grown significantly, because overall consumption of electricity has grown over the years in the entire country. And agriculture is a power intensive activity, where actually power is utilized to draw the groundwater for irrigation, and 70% of the water being utilized is into agriculture. and this is mainly dependent upon the bore wells and the groundwater, which is to be drawn out with the help of power and electricity for irrigating the fields. The share of electricity consumption by agriculture was almost 19% in the year 1982-83. It rose to over 27% in the year 2000-2001. However, since then, the share of electricity consumption by agriculture has been declining, and it fell only to about 21% by the year 2016-18. This does not say that the overall there is a decline in the absolute numbers of consumption, but this also talks about the diversion of power in the rural sector into various other activities. Like, there is an entry of television, there is an entry of satellite television into the rural hinterland, there is entry of laptop computers, a lot of things getting into the rural hinterland, which is also having a major share in the electricity and power. The power consumption by agriculture is no longer a major contributor to the overall power consumption, but the slowdown in annual growth may be due to increasing consciousness among energy usage. Let me talk about the value of input-output and GDP agriculture. If we talk about the growth, the rate of growth that we have seen over the years, right from the past 5 decades, that is from 1980-81 till the year 2012-13, so we see a significant number. The average annual growth rate from the year 1980-81 to the year 2012-13 for the total output of agriculture has grown by 2.95%, whereas total input in agriculture has grown by 2.52%. If we talk about the GDP, it has grown by 3% over this 4 to 5 decades, and whereas the net domestic product in case of agriculture has grown by 2.75%. You can see all the absolute numbers being presented on this page. The value of output of agriculture grew at 2.9%. The input of agriculture grew at 2.52%. Among the value of agriculture inputs, feed of livestock constitute about 40%. It grew by 1.37%. And the value of inputs such as chemical fertilizer grew at a rate of 4.5%, which we have already discussed earlier in one of the slides. Value of inputs such as diesel oil grew at a rate of 5.98%. This was substantial in total input cost. Value of inputs such as financial services grew at 11.55%. This was a substantial in the total input cost. And value of repairs and maintenance grew at a rate of 11% recently. The growth rate, all these indicate that structure of cost within the agriculture input is considerably changing. The diesel cost, the financial services cost, and repairs and maintenance cost are growing at a much faster pace compared to their other similar kind of cost that is arising out of the agriculture activities. GDP of agriculture, it grew at a rate of 3.06% over all these years, right from 1980-81, and the net domestic product grew at a rate of 2.7% over these years. So now, friends, we are going to talk about the productivity or yield per hectare, and it is very important at this moment of time where we are actually having a population of about 7.5 billion people in the world to feed, and our resources are very much limited, our land resources are limited, our labor resources are limited, our inputs are limited, and with this input, we have the only way to go forward where actually we have to feed about 10 to 11 billion people in the year 2050 is only by increasing the productivity. Hence, productivity is one of the most important factor here. So friends, let me talk about few numbers which shows actually the productivity of India, where in which direction it is growing up, and let me compare the with the most important significant crops for the Indian economy, starting with rice. In the year 1990-91, the production of rice was about 1740 kgs per hectare, and it has grown significantly in just about a time span of 17-18 years, in the year 2017-18, to achieve about 2578 kgs per hectare. Similarly, the wheat crop it has grown in terms of productivity, where actually the productivity was about 2281 kgs per hectare in the year 1991, and it has grown up till 3371 kgs per hectare in the year 2017-18. Now coming to another crop, that is jowar, where the productivity in the year 1990-91 was about 814 kgs per hectare, and it has grown although just incrementally by a few kgs, but about 150 kgs or more. So now it is about 1000 kgs per hectare in the year 2017-18. When we talk about pulses, another important crop for the central India and particularly MP, Maharashtra and Chhattisgarh, we see that the in the year 1990-91 the productivity was far low. It was just 578 kgs per hectare. Now it has grown significantly to 841. So there is a much shift in the productivity which has grown in the areas of pulses. When we talk about total food grain productivity in the year 1990-91, it was 1380, whereas in the year 2017-18 it has almost close to double, that is 2233 in the year 2017-18. Again, when we talk about another important crop, that's the oilseed. So oilseed crop, the productivity in the year 1990-91 was about 771, whereas it has gone to 1217 in the year 2017-18. The overall productivity yield of food grains has risen by 2.09% per year. It's on year-on-year basis. During this period from 1990-91 to 2017-18, the substantial increase in the yield of rice, wheat and oilseeds has been observed. The Economic Survey 2018-19 stressed upon the need of giving incentives to farmers to conserve water, especially because cropping pattern in India is highly skewed in favor of crops that are water intensive, like sugarcane, rice and few major crops. It also suggested to increase the sustainability through organic and natural farming techniques, apart from economizing the use of fertilizer and pesticide to improve both water use efficiency and soil fertility. Sustainability is a element where actually we talk about the not just using the resources now, even leaving our next generation to use those resources after we are gone. So this is the element where actually we talk about the optimum usage of resources, we talk about the economic aspect, we talk about the social aspect, and we talk about the environmental aspect of farming. So we conserve our resources, that is land, water and the environment, with a view so that it can be further used by the coming generations. The survey also proposed improving infrastructure access to market and adopting technology for smallholder farmers. Now the question is, who a smallholder farmer is? If we talk about a smallholder farmer, somebody who has less access to the resources, to the awareness, and overall productivity is very low. And when we talk about resources, it is they are the marginal and small farmers who are having very fragmented land holdings, and these people are devoid of any access to the major knowledge source, where actually they don't get proper knowledge on the farming aspects, on the agronomic aspects, on the crop protection aspects. They are also not blessed with the accessibility to the to those products, the agriculture inputs, like proper pesticides, proper fertilizers or the genuine seeds. So these are the people who are devoid of all these facilities. So there is a special focus to increase or enhance the productivity of these smallholder farmers, who are actually going to gain a lot from this farming activity if the productivity is increased. So friends, in this chapter, let me conclude by summarizing what all points we have discussed about the agri inputs. So when it comes to agri inputs, we have listed down and we have discussed in detail about the various kinds of agri inputs that are being utilized during the farming. So starting with the land resource, the labor resource and the irrigation facilities which are available to the farmers. Then we also spoke about the kind of power consumption or electricity consumption that is on a rising trend, as well as we also spoke about the facilities or the inputs that are marketed in these rural areas to the farmers, like pesticides, seeds and fertilizers. So we also spoke in this chapter regarding the total contribution of GDP, the input as well as the output contributions over the past five decades. And we also spoke about the total emerging markets in terms of productivity. We spoke about the productivity, how it has actually enhanced and how it can be enhanced to impact the life of various farmers, including the smallholder farmers. So with this, I conclude this chapter. Thank you.